hanging out at Stadium Swim. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stadium Swim here on a Thursday as we're live at Circa Las Vegas, getting ready for Thursday night football, college football tonight, college football tomorrow. UNLV is playing Syracuse. We'll get to that. Michael Felder's in. He's our college football guru on Thursday. So to set up this week, we got to go back to last week.
Yes.
I watched Alabama, Georgia. Fascinating game. I actually have some negatives coming out of the game. What do you think about the game? Do you want to get on anyone? You want to praise someone?
I mean, the young Bulls for Alabama, amazing. The two freshmen they have, offense and defense, they got after it. They made the two biggest plays of the game. Obviously, Ryan Williams with the long catch for a touchdown when they went down for the first time in the entire game. And then you throw in the interception to end the game. Those are kids. Ryan Williams is 17. I know what I was doing when I was 17. I was playing with matches. You know, I was shooting airsoft guns. This guy went out there and made a big-time play. 177 yards, that's insane. So I love that. I do think that it kind of proved the point. I think Alabama, I said it, what did I say it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Alabama's the strongest team in the country. And they showed it. And the interception that Jalen Milroe threw, I do think that's on the tight end. I don't think it's on Milroe. Because Milroe recognized that these guys had a coverage bust. He hit it. All he tried to do was sit him down, and instead he tried to keep running. You can't do that. So very interesting. But it was a good week of football. It was a good – like that weekend was good. Not good for my guys, UNC.
Woo!
Blowing a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter to Duke. So it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like and – how teams handle things, but I think we've got a better idea of what this format looks like. And then obviously your guys, did you see 59 coming?
No, I saw a game. I thought both sides would be in the 30s. So that was the right. Surprise for me was that Fresno could not stop UNLV. And right. I thought Fresno would at least put up 28, 30. They always do. And, the UNLV defense had Mikey Keene spooked. He was seeing ghosts.
Yeah, and I will tell you this, October 25th, that's probably going to be the epicenter of the college football world. And rightfully so, as long as everybody takes care of business, that should be the epicenter of the college football world on October 25th, excuse me.
Ashton Gentee for Boise State, the running back, is one of the scariest players I've ever seen. No one can tackle him.
It's like he's got powers. Like this guy is like, they're like, he's like, no, not you, not you, not you. You know what? I'm a little tired. I will jog out of bounds. We're good. So I'm looking forward to watching Gentee take on this UNLV defense, obviously, that we just saw shut down Fresno State. Looking forward to UNLV. Like this is a big deal because both of these teams are in the top 25 right now.
Yeah, it's quite the setup. They both have a tough test along the way, so we'll see what happens here. Yeah. I guess back to Georgia and Alabama for a second. I know their talent is otherworldly. I will say I was disappointed in the back end with both teams, and they do need to get better because there's going to be some challenges out there with throwing quarterbacks that could mess them up.
Yeah, I think one is youth, and that's Alabama. The other one is reliance on – It's Kirby Smart is very similar to Dabo Swinney with respect to picking the devil you know instead of playing his younger guys. And I think that's a huge part of it. Who is it? 17, Jackson? That kid, like, hey, man, yes, you got the interception. An interception that if the tight end sits down, you never have an opportunity to get. But watching him try to run with these Alabama wide receivers, I was like, yo, dude, you are not Nolan Turner. Nolan Turner, by the way, is a reference to Clemson. Clemson's Nolan Turner helped them win a national championship. And I think this Jackson kid, like, he's just not quite there yet. And it's going to be interesting to see what – Georgia has the hardest path to the playoff. Because they still have to play Texas, Tennessee. I don't know if Ole Miss goes on the list anymore because they lost to Kentucky. But still, they got to play Ole Miss.
So let's go back to week after Alabama, Georgia, how these teams react. Both are involved in situations where they're about 24-point favorites. Does Vandy have a chance to make Bama fans nervous?
No, no. Alabama's going to take care of business. Like, it's okay. Not going to be – this is going to be – this is not going to be the Virginia Tech game. They're going to walk into Nashville, and they're going to take care of business. This team is highly focused, super motivated. Everyone thinks they will not – everyone thought going into the season they're going to take this massive step back with Saban leaving, and I think they're really focused on proving them wrong.
Can Auburn make Georgia fans nervous? Mr. Freeze, pull it together, buddy.
I put this game on ice.
Yeah.
No, I think Georgia's going to – I think they're going to bounce back strong. Carson Beck, interception, obviously, in that game. But the reality for me in watching this is I just think that Georgia has to find who their playmakers are, and that's been the biggest problem. And I also think Carson Beck has to find a way to kind of command this locker room. And we've seen it with Jake Fromm. We've seen it with Stetson Bennett. Those guys commanded that locker room. 330-pound guys were looking at these guys like, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And I don't know if Carson Beck has that.
Michael Felder's with us here on Cofield & Company. We have two spots where a team is going on the road, and right around 14 is what they're laying. Tennessee is going to go into Arkansas and take care of them easily?
Man, I don't know. I like Arkansas. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been doing radio in Arkansas since 2016. And I got a little soft spot for them, right? You do radio somewhere for almost a decade. I got That's why I got a soft spot for UNLV. You and I have been talking together forever. But I think this is a closer game than that. I also think that they're going to slow this football game down. And I love their quarterback. So I think we're going to get to see – it's not going to be a rock fight. I think that ultimately we're going to see a game that for 35 minutes is pretty tight. And then those last 25, I think Tennessee opens things up.
Same kind of number with Clemson going on the road against Florida State. And, I mean, I right now I don't know where Florida State's mindset is. It looks like a game that Clemson, even in Tallahassee, can blow them off the field.
I was going to say, do you think Florida State knows where their mindset is? I don't know if they know where their headset is. Like, I think Clemson is going to go – I think Clemson is going to be hyper-focused. I think Clemson is going to blow the doors off of them in this game.
Michigan's going to Washington. I find this one fascinating because this is exactly what I was kind of talking about all summer long, which is the high-flying, good quarterbacks around the Pac-12. When they go in, who's going to take care of business between the traditional Big Ten and the new Big Ten? Is it going to be the quarterback or is it going to be the power game? I thought Washington recovered pretty good against Rutgers in the power game. Rutgers is not Michigan, though. And this is a long trip, though, for Michigan. So there's a lot of good angles in this game.
So we're looking at a 7:30 Eastern kick. Because this part has been really interesting. I was talking to Roddy Jones on Tuesday. This is a game that's in this wheelhouse that Roddy's built this wheelhouse where he has. He's like, if it's a 10:30 kick for a team from the East Coast traveling over, that's bad. We don't play football at that time. If it's a noon kick for a team traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast, that is also bad.
Yes.
But this game, in theory, is what? That's a 4:30 kick. I think Michigan is going to be alert, aware. They're going to be able to take care of business. I'm sure they left a day early anyway. So I think Michigan will handle it. Washington has not been nearly as close to what we thought they could be. And I think that's going to be the difference maker. Michigan's going to put hands on them. It's not going to be a great game to watch, but it will be a Michigan win.
Let's close out on one more in the SEC. I think Missouri is really good. I don't know if Texas A&M is good. Clearly, they've had a little ups and downs. What do you think is going to happen here with Mizzou on the road?
I don't know. See, I don't know if Missouri is any good.
Oh, okay.
Like their games look like it. Their games look like trying to get your child to eat vegetables. And it's this situation where it's like, hey, man, that's enough broccoli. Hey, you ate two of them? That's enough for me.
Thank God.
I'm good.
Yeah.
We did it. Yes. Let me go get a glass of wine and sit down because I'm done. And Texas A&M is kind of in the same boat. Texas A&M is the toddler that doesn't want to eat the broccoli. But they're like, if I eat the broccoli, I beat my dad. And it's like, I don't think that's what you think it means. So this is going to be an interesting one of two teams. It's a big push and pull. It's at Kyle Field, which gives Texas A&M the edge. But Mizzou, as a team that's in the top 10 right now, they need to win this football game. A&M, as a team that wants to be a part of the playoff, they need to win this game. This is a game that both teams need to have. Luther Burden is amazing, but they also have Theo Weiss, who's also amazing. So I'm very much looking forward to these wide receivers from Mizzou. And I'm looking forward to the wide receivers from Mizzou taking on this A&M secondary and A&M figuring out like who they actually are as a team.
We'll close where we started. You just hit that angle of East going West.
Yeah.
I'll give credit to Syracuse for coming out here to Vegas. They both had a hole in the schedule late because of Army.
Yeah.
And I don't think Syracuse knew what it was walking into. Now, I think Syracuse can win this game. I think the line is way too big. It's 6.5.
Wow.
But again, this is a 9 o'clock Eastern start on a Friday night. Yeah. So Cuse has got to get adjusted. And then you've got this defense that has been good against the pass against McCord, who is really good.
I love this game. This is one of those ones that you like circle on your Friday night. It's like, you know what? Hey, my kids already in bed. I'm going to throw this on the iPad while my wife and I, while I pretend to watch a movie with my wife. And we'll go from there. And I have to throw it on the iPad because Michigan State is going to Outson. So, and she's a Michigan State lady. So I am excited for this one. I think that Syracuse is so undiscovered, right? We talked about it with A&M. I think Syracuse is in the same vein. Like, they're not sure who they are. UNLV, I think, does understand what they're supposed to do. So this is a huge spot because if you beat Syracuse, now all of a sudden, what are we at? 23? We're at 22? Let's keep going. Let's keep pushing. And again, pushing to that date that I said, October 25th. And I think this is a huge one for them, and this is a big game. And what do you think of that stadium? What do you think that stadium's going to look like?
It's been slow to pick up here. I don't know why it's taken so long, but last week was 25,000. I think they pushed past 30. I mean, reality would say they go past 40,000, but I don't know. It's on a Friday night. Las Vegans are weird, man. Sometimes they have excuses for not going out, and it takes a while to convince them. But this is a hot event. UNLV's yeah. playing really good football. It's a really likable group. You can rally around them because of the Sluka thing. Haj Malik Williams is a great kid. Ricky White is like as good a kid you're going to find. So there's so many good stories coming out of this game. I hope people show up in big numbers.
The thing for me, here's the thing I like about the timing of this game. It's at 9, which is what? That's
6 o'clock our time.
6 your time.
Yep.
Let's go. Because guess what you can do? You can still go out after the game.
Yep.
So let's show up, show out. I'm putting the ad on for the Rebs. Show up at 6. Go do your thing. Watch them beat the Cuse. And then go do it. Doesn't affect your life. You weren't doing anything for those 3 hours anyway. Let's go.
There he is, blowing the trumpet for Rebel football. Mike, we appreciate it. You have a good weekend. See ya.
You too.
There he is, Michael Felder on College Football Learfield. You want to sign up for his newsletter? Comes out a bunch of times each week. It's felder.substack.com.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Cabana 7, Michael Felder, our College Football Insider, just with us. You know, much earlier today, way before he came on with us just now, talked to Felder. He played college football. He played in North Carolina. So he played in the ACC. He's covered college football for like 20 years. And he was talking about wishing he could be in Vegas for this Syracuse game. And I can't express to people enough, because here's what I don't want to do. Because I think the media does this too often in Vegas, like, get out to the game, you're missing out. If you don't want to go to the game, or you can't afford it, or you don't think it's worth it, I'm not here to freaking scold you. I just know, my experience as a fan, college football games are really fun. Like, the energy, NFL games are good, but I've always been more of a college football guy. And as they build the atmosphere and the environment at these UNLV games, it does get pretty loud, even without a full house at Allegiant. And who was I talking to the other day? Oh, do you know what it was? It was on – go listen to our UNLV All Access podcast with Caleb Herring. It's up on my Twitter handle, at Steve Cofield. And Caleb Herring, as a former quarterback, was saying, having people getting loud at Allegiant could be a factor in this game, and that's always kind of the party line. Like, oh, but in this case, Syracuse as a this team hasn't been on the road yet. So this will be the first time they played every game at home so far.
Wow.
So and listen, I'm not here to suggest like Kyle McCord hasn't played in front of a big crowd. He did at Ohio right. State at home and away. But with this group, they haven't dealt with, you know, let's not do Robert Saleh and the whole Cadence thing and Rodgers, because they look like they'd never played together either on Sunday. But that could be a factor that helps. And it's just the overall fun. You were asking about the Torch Terrace thing from 4:30 to 5:45. Yeah, they've got a happy hour going on. By the way, I didn't know this. Do you know that every state doesn't have happy hour? That there are some states with their laws now that won't allow happy hour.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Felder, again, you know, talking to him way before the interview this morning, doing some prep, he was like, happy hour. He's like, man, we don't have that in North Carolina. The entire state. He's like, do you know what NC State fans would do in that case? He's like, they would go crazy, you know, but we're so used to
spoiled, yeah,
doing whatever we want here, and that's why I'm here. But I think it could be a raucous atmosphere. It could be wild, and it could help them.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if you look at all these big games, you can really get the crowd involved, and that can impact the game, and they feed off of your energy. So, I mean, I'm with you. You don't want to tell people, get out there, support them. But at the same time, you do, because they need it, and it does help, and we want to be a football school.
We'll get to a little more hardcore breakdown. One other factor of the game that I want to hit in the final 5 minutes. So we got one of the rookie receivers going off the field for the Buccaneers. Bucs are down 7-0. 9.5 left in the first quarter. What were your thoughts on this one going in?
I'm pretty high on the Falcons. So I thought that was a pretty good price at home.
Why are you high on the Falcons? In this game or overall?
Overall. They haven't made my top 10 yet, but they're close. I liked the Falcons last year, to be honest. And now once they got Kirk Cousins, I thought this was a pretty complete team. And Tampa Bay has a lot of injuries, especially on their defensive side. So.
All right, I'm going to change the direction of the convo here. Griffin, pop on mic for a second. Griffin's back in our Findlay Toyota studios. You know, you got a shout-out, but it wasn't really public yesterday. I was talking to high school guru Ray Brewer from the Las Vegas Sun.
Oh, yeah, my man Ray.
And he was like, hey, how's Griffin doing? I covered him in high school.
Yeah, I remember. I remember Ray. He actually was the first person who I reached out to when I graduated from Cal Poly, came back here to Vegas, was trying to get my foot in the door in sports media. I said, well, who's better to ask than the guy who used to cover me and has been in this market? And he actually helped me get on my path that eventually led me to being here in this seat today.
What high school did you go to?
Orta Palo Verde. I played for the great Darwin Rost for the Palo Verde Panthers.
Have you ever looked at the wiki page for the high school to see if you're on there as distinguished alum?
No. Come on. There's been people who've gone to the NFL, I've had teammates that were younger than me, older than me, who went way further in sports than I ever did. Okay. I'm just proud to be a proud Panther alumni.
Adam Hill at one point was on the Silverado wiki page.
That's
and then
impressive.
Someone like basically graffitied the page and just mocked on him. So I think it got pulled. Because this weekend, really tomorrow night, for raising awareness of Breast Cancer Month, this donut eating contest, that's the whole purpose of this thing, but you've got, as they're calling them, distinguished alums as part of the event, Kenny Mayne, and we're going to try to get Kenny back on tomorrow. We had some phone issues. Mickey Sudo, competitive eater, UNLV, and Mickey got me thinking. Because I was like, this is cool. Distinguished alum. When you get invited back to your school, UNLV is a good-sized school. It's been around for a good number of years now. I was like, that's great. And she got, like, all humble. Who would be the first person? You're UNLV. Who would be the first person you would mention as distinguished alum?
Oh, my God.
Because I'm always gonna side with Major League Eaters. And I'm like, she's one of the biggest ever! Now, there's lots of other professional athletes who've done really well. Larry Johnson, Randall Cunningham
was the first to come to mind.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be an athlete either.
Right. And there's another sports media personality that's very famous now, too, besides Kenny Mayne.
Now you're blanking out.
I am, yes. But you know who I'm talking about.
I'm blanking on it, too. Someone texted us. Read Alex's mind, 702-364-1100. That's the text number.
I'll have to move on. I'll think of it.
Okay, here's the question for both of you, because I started thinking about this. For distinguished alum, for you to make a list, how far back in your schooling would you have to go? Or would that still not work? Like, I might have to go to, like, preschool. You get what I'm saying?
I do not.
Like, I might be the most famous person out of the class of five-year-olds that I went to school with. But I can't even guarantee that.
I'm pretty sure that Rebecca Black, who obviously gives us our nice little Friday intros, I'm pretty sure she went to Palo Verde. Not the entire 4 years, but I remember back in the day that the when that song went out and became viral, all anybody could talk about was, oh, yo, that girl goes here. That girl goes to Palo Verde. That's our classmate. Now, I think when the song got popular and was really going, I think she ended up transferring somewhere else. But Rebecca Black, I'm going to claim that one as an alumni for my school.
I would have to go pretty far back as well, especially the high school that I went to. But I think you're being humble, Steve.
No, I actually don't think I am. Here's my advantage. I went to a lot of schools. We bounced around a bunch from, like, yeah, whatever. It would have been, like, preschool until, like, sixth. So I might have a chance. But I guarantee if I went through the annals, I'd be like, yep, they made it bigger. Just a local sports talk radio host.
You went to Rutgers, right?
Yeah, but that's, forget that. Yeah. I mean, it's worth, that's a school of, that's
yeah.
300 years old.
But have you gone back there? As of
no,
late? Or,
no. No? Oh. Not even media-wise. There's so many people in media from that school who are super famous and, you know, I mean, like I said, 300 plus years. So, no, that's why I wasn't joking. Like, I think it would be like preschool, maybe early elementary school, and I can't even guarantee that. So when Mickey Sudo got all humble yesterday, I'm like, I don't know. I think the greatest female eater of hot dogs in the history of the world, as far as we know, I don't, you know, it wasn't documented back in the olden days, but that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Yes, absolutely. And we had good golfers at UNLV, right?
Yes.
That went on to have good.
There's a lot. I mean, the athlete front.
The athlete front.
I wasn't saying that you were. I mean, if. Okay. How deep would they have to go for Alex White, South Point Studios, one of the great female handicappers in the country, a two-time winner of last man woman standings? That's pretty good.
Eh, I don't know.
I'm looking at a list right now.
I'm going like fifth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do? Yeah, I mean, if you are, you know, if you have to go back that far, it's something. So what? It's something.
I'm looking at this list right now, and if this is accurate,
of
I'm
what?
Seeing of UNLV alumni.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I'm seeing Jimmy Kimmel. I'm seeing Guy Fieri.
Right.
Flo Rida. Obviously, we got the lead singer for Imagine Dragons. That one's not hard. He is literally from Las Vegas, that band, but geez.
Yeah, and Guy was mentioned by Mickey yesterday. I mean, if it's for salaries, believe it or not, with all the athletes have had, Guy Fieri, I think, is right now in the midst of like a 4-year, $180 or $200 million deal. So he just makes a lot of money.
He's the flavor king.
And like that ain't stopping. All right, the list I see here. Were you going to qualify Tommy Lahren? Do you even know who that is?
I do not.
Yeah, well, she's a we'll say an influencer on the right.
Oh, I do know who that is. Yes.
Yes.
Gina
Carano.
I went to UNLV and Greenspun Journalism Media while she was there.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Was she different back then? I have a feeling she might have been different back then and decided, hey, there's a good way to make money, as a lot of people do. All right. Is there someone on the staff who you think would puff out their chest and say, like, even Griffin, even to high school, that they would be the most distinguished alum from their high school? Is there anyone on the staff who would do that?
Not because he's cocky, but I just feel like Greg Salerno would say, I'm definitely the best thing to come out of wherever he went to school from.
You know what? I was actually thinking, because I love Willie and the character slash real person he is, I thought Willie might do it, which now he'll be on next week and be all offended by it, but... you're right. Greg might be, although he's very self-deprecating.
He is. But I think the man can take a second and recognize, you know, where he's come and how far he's gone in life and in this field. The man is, he's done great things.
Hmm.
Adam Hill as well. Adam Hill, wherever he went to school, that man needs to have a plaque somewhere in that school.
I mean, this donut eating contest is probably the biggest thing I've ever been involved in. I've had really haven't reached those heights. I mean, if I finish fourth, third, do I have to finish second? And do I have to do like 20 donuts?
You have to beat Kevin Kruger.
I don't think I can.
What? Really?
I think he was on with us the other day. He was like, aw shucks, and I don't know why they asked me. I'm like, you're going to kill us. He's competitive. You ever watch him coach a game?
Yes, I have.
He's very...
I mean, I watched him play.
I was going to say, I watched him play. I think he's actually more competitive as a coach. He gets fired up. So this is really cool. I know we've been talking about it all week, but it really is for a good cause. It's going to be a fun thing, and we'll see what Mickey Sudo can do. We had the numbers yesterday. She had done a contest eating donuts. She did 87 in 10 minutes. So you knock this down. The contest is 24 donuts as fast as you can. There actually is an end clock. We have 4 minutes to do it. I ain't making it 4 minutes. It's not going to happen. I was just hoping that she would eat her 24 in like three. I actually think she can do 24 inside of 2.5 minutes.
That is insane.
Yep. She did 87 and 10. So you're talking about 8.7 donuts a minute over 10. Usually gets slower in these competitive eating contests. So, you know, 8.7 into 24. I think she can do it in probably 2.5 and do it easily. And the one last thing we got to find out is if we can dunk or not. There is going to be water there. I may try to bring a foreign substance, an illegal substance that's not listed. We were talking about coffee, just black coffee. If you drink scalding black coffee and just wound your throat, you don't even feel the donuts going down.
Oh my gosh!
Do you want to win this or not? This is show pride. This is not just me on the line. You could get mocked and chided. You're like, you do a show with someone who's that bad. His name's on the show. It should be Alex White and Company. I get demoted to the company. Not that it's a demotion, but I got to turn up here.
How many people are you going against? How many total?
I don't know. Okay. I know there's I know of at least three of us. My guess is there might be like eight.
Okay.
And there could be some real ringers in there.
Yeah.
If I see someone get up there who's all jacked like a bodybuilder, I'm gonna be so mad. Because it's usually the most in shape people who can eat a lot. Like Mickey's pretty solid.
I like that number you set too. 2.5 minutes for her. Over or under.
That's the intrigue, is how fast can she do it.
Right.
We'll come back. We'll get you updated on the Thursday night football game. This is a great spot to watch. It's a tie game now, 7-7. We're at Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Falcons field goal attempt? Uh-oh.
What happened? No good.
My guy... Young Waiku, actually from the Garden State, has a much stronger New Jersey, New York accent than I ever had.
And he won the game for him last week against the Saints.
He's good. Well, kickers have made such a difference this year. One, the expectations now are that every time someone kicks from over 50 yards, like automatic, which is not really the case. I think the league got off to a hot start, but kickers are better than they have ever been. I don't want to get into a generational discussion. Which brings us back to one last point. We'll have plenty of UNLV Syracuse preview tomorrow. I'll be over at the stadium. Greg Salerno is going to be at TI. I don't think Syracuse's special teams are a strength. And if you can say anything, knock on wood, special teams are a strength. And they have been for the entire Barry Odom tenure.
Yes, they have.
They have a great kick returner. And last week they showed you can kick away from Jacob DeJesus the entire game, and he got a couple of returns. And you can manage it, but if you make one mistake, and they did with Jet Thomas, who technically is the third kick returner on the depth chart, and he took one to the house. And that was the first time since 2012 that they had kicked or got a kickoff return for a touchdown.
2012?
Yep.
Wow.
It's been a while.
It is.
We'll say special teams over the years haven't always been a strength, but that was one of the things when Barry Odom came in. It's like we got who I think is the best, this is him saying this, best special teams coach in the country, and James Shebest, and almost all the results have turned out to be really good. Their punter's gotten much better, Marshall Nichols. They got a guy, a transfer, in Jose Pisano, who had probably the single greatest kicking season in UNLV history, which is saying a lot because they've actually had a lot of good kickers over the years, including the previous kicker, Daniel Gutierrez, I know behind the scenes they were really fired up to get Caden Chittenden, the kicker from Faith Lutheran, and we were kind of told, hey, it's a battle in camp, and then Chittenden got the role. He didn't get all of it because he wasn't doing kickoffs full-time, and he's been nothing but solid. So now it looks like the kicker, again, is a strength over most of their opponents, a freshman.
Speaking of UNLV kickers, we had on Nick Garitano last week because they were honoring that class. Are they doing anything at tomorrow's game?
No, just this the halftime thing for the start of October and breast cancer awareness. And I don't know whether any other honors are doing. I'm sure they have some cool things planned. They seem, for all the home games, they seem to have something cool going on, bringing back someone. But, you know, that's another part of the mission over there, to make sure that they have more of a connection and continue to build connections with alums. And that is important. Yeah. Any school that's not embracing that, I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, if you want the money, right?
That too. Yeah, from a collection standpoint. And, you know, honor the people who kind of set the building blocks over the history of your program. In the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So I kind of shot you down earlier on the Devontae Adams, one of your trade rumors, because I said I don't want him as a Jets fan. But that doesn't mean the Jets aren't interested. They are. The Jets have reached out. I think there's some interest from the Steelers. The Cowboys have reached out. I saw, I guess, JTTB, JT the Brick, was taking a shot, as he often does. Didn't name anyone. But he said, everyone's got this, the trade simulator now in their basement. I'm not a trade simulator person, but I don't mind people doing it. Did you find something that was interesting for Adams and the Raiders would get back some good value?
Well, just because Reddick has been holding out, right, for the Jets, so clearly they're trying to figure out what to do with him anyway. So I saw something with him going to the Falcons and then the Raiders getting some picks in exchange for that and sending Devontae Adams to New York.
Yeah, so Reddick would move on, like you said, to the Falcons. This deal you have, the Raiders get a second and some mid-round picks from 25 and 26. And the Jets would get Devontae Adams. I got to tell you, I'm not in love with that for value.
No.
But I also understand right now it's a weird time with Devontae Adams and his value. I don't know what that Kay Adams interview did. I don't know what AP liking his post. I don't know what that did. I don't know if people look at Devontae Adams in bad ways. I don't think you should. I mean, I had my list earlier about teams that should be interested in getting him. And I don't know, Alex shot down like half of them. She broke my confidence, but I'm going to bring it back. That was like a half an hour ago. I'm kidding. But yeah,
it's
the team.
It's just the Cowboys. The Cowboys just throws me off, and it's not just you. I've heard other people say it, and
ooh.
I
didn't get through my whole list.
Okay, who
I'm
else do
cut
you
off. No, my list was Cowboys, Bills, Chargers, Colts, Giants, Niners should all be interested. I didn't mention the Packers. Of course they should be interested. And the team we're watching right here, I know they have Mike Evans, but the way Baker Mayfield's playing, wouldn't it be awesome for Adams to go there? Todd Bowles, I think, is one of those guys who would kind of be in a good mix, right? Low-profile guy as a head coach would be good for Devontae Adams, and he'd be going to a good team.
Yeah, they are looking
good. No state income tax either.
That's right.
That's good when you make $32 million a year, whatever he's making. Now, I think the places Devontae Adams should want to go to are Bills, Saints, Rams, Colts, Packers, Bucks. So I have the same teams in some cases, but I think the Rams should be kicking the tires big time.
Oh yeah.
And again, I don't care about salary cap. It's not my expertise, and I feel like in the NFL, if you want to get something done, I feel like over the years the Rams haven't had a salary cap. I feel the same way about the Chiefs. You're like, hey, they have no more room. Yeah, we do. What happened here,
man? Matthew Stafford, Devontae Adams,
I mean, and you'd be like, oh, they already have Kupp and Dakua. Do they? Are they coming back, and will they stay healthy?
We don't know right now.
There's not a deadline, but like, what's realistic for not doing anything, trying to get your best deal possible? Like, how much longer can this go? What do you think?
A couple weeks.
That's what I think too. Like this weekend, and then by next week, you gotta. And for the other team trading for him, like you know, the first week you get him, maybe you don't even play him, or it's gonna be a while before he gets the playbook and go out there for more than 15 snaps. Thanks to Circa. Come on down here. Now, this is what I'm talking about. The sun went down. The temperature is down like 15 degrees. Once this thing lights up, it's beautiful. Tomorrow, Allegiant Stadium, Treasure Island for the show. Remember, on Friday nights, also a very cool place to hang out. Our buddies with Ellis Island at the Front Yard. They're now doing a Friday night tailgate. They've got the Raiders entertainer and house band, David Perico. I went to see the show last week. It was awesome. The female leads are dynamite, so cool place to hang out. So is Treasure Island. And, of course, here we thank all of our partners. We love you guys. Thanks so much for supporting Cofield & Company. Alex, great job. Guys, Colin, Vanessa, excellent job. I know you're dealing with a lot back there from a tech standpoint. You held it together, Griffin. Good job, buddy.